Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Game Gravy Rewind podcast. This is episode 27. With me tonight, I have Chris King from GameGravy.com.
What it do?
I have Ryan Shiflett from NintendoFever.com.
What's up, everybody?
And, of course, I am your host, Anthony, like always. Obviously, we don't have Michael and Jeffrey with us this evening. They are off doing their own thing. I think Mike's stuck in ice and snow, which I don't really feel sorry for him because it's nice in Florida right now. Jeff's working at the GameStop. Let's go ahead and jump into what we have been playing this week. Let's start off on the 3DS front and go with Mr. Ryan. And he's been playing a little eShop game. Go ahead and talk about that one.
I have that little eShop game. Is Ironfall Invasion from BD Dev. Actually, it's, you know, news-wise, everybody's been calling it Gears of War Lite. And I know it wasn't very popular when they released it over in Europe, but I got to say, I'm totally okay with it being Gears of War Lite because it's on my 3DS. And, you know, I think the main problem is because it's not on a Microsoft system. Everybody's kind of hating on it because that's where they want to see their Gears of War. But I've got to say, it's technically extremely impressive. The fact that they're able to do what they do visually on the 3DS is kind of nuts. You know, with the 3D off, it's running at a smooth 60 frames a second. I haven't noticed any dips or anything like that. 3D on, you're looking at, you know, I'm assuming probably 30 because it looks like it's, you know, it's not, it doesn't have that crisp 60 frames per second look out. Excuse me. With it. But I mean, it's fun. And that's, for me, the most important thing. I think it's cool the way that they released it is you go to the eShop, you download it, and then they give you a slice of the single player and a free multiplayer map and character to play with before you decide to buy it, and then you can purchase each one separately. So if you're a fan of single player, you can buy the single player. If you're more of the multiplayer type of gamer, you can hop on and just buy that. Or, like me, just go ahead and hop on and buy both at once.
Now, I really wish that they would bring that option to Call of Duty, because I love the Call of Duty multiplayer, but I'd never even play the single player. So if I could just buy the multiplayer, I would love that.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, and that's one of the things that I thought was, you know, really cool about it, and it would be kind of neat to see happen into the industry with especially the titles that have that multiplayer focus, but then also have, you know, decent single player to allow that fan base to choose which one they really want to invest their money into.
You sounded like you were a little disturbed by my comment there, Chris.
Well, I mean, okay, let's put it like this. Every Call of Duty that came out, I played the campaign first before I played the multiplayer. Because I guess I'm that kind of guy that plays story.
But you like cinematic games. Like, that's kind of like your forte. Like,
yeah,
where
it is.
Exactly. Whereas I'm more all about gameplay, and I really don't care about, you know, I'm not really the big, like, story-driven guy. I don't need to see these amazing cinematics or anything. I'm more of, I'm happy with just, you know, just playing a game that's just strictly based off of gameplay that has a really unique gameplay idea. And unfortunately, I feel like the single-player Call of Duties, it's really all just, you know, go to point A, go to point B, go to point C, and that's really all the single-players are. What was that?
Just wait till I talk about the order.
but yeah, that's what I feel like the single player Call of Duties amount to, and I find a lot more replay value and a lot more entertainment out of the multiplayer when it comes to Call of Duty. The one thing I really enjoy about the Call of Duty multiplayer is, you know, as we get older, we have less of a chance to hang out with our friends and be able to, you know, just game with our buddies, and that gives you the possibility to get online there, and you can, you know, chat across line, and it's like you're hanging out, you get into a big old group with them, and then you kind of just, like, you know, just talk random nonsense while you're playing, and it's not really that difficult of a game where, you know, if you're, you don't even really need to strategize, and you could still beat people in that game.
Yeah, because I remember when you was like you, Devin, me, Ryan, and whoever else that joined us, well, I'll jump in and just be like, just go ham.
Yeah, and we would be winning every match, and we wouldn't even be talking about the game. So
yeah, exactly.
But back to Ironfall. I tried a little bit of it, and I don't have the new 3DS. I thought the controls felt a little wonky on the old one, especially with the stylus. I felt like it didn't turn fast enough. I imagine you're playing it on the new 3DS.
I am. And it's funny playing it. I think it's an experience that is probably best played on either the new 3DS or a 3DS with a circle pad pro attachment. I can see, you know, the trying to use the stylus as kind of your mouse for the aiming. Yeah, I don't, unless it was extremely sensitive, I don't see that being as much fun as being able to play it like you're holding an actual controller in your hand with the dual analog.
See, but I really enjoyed Moon Chronicles. I mean, granted, Jules Watson makes amazing games, and, you know, he makes that stylus work. But, you know, I really enjoyed the controls in there, and I felt like it was pretty spot on. Like, this game, maybe it's because it's first person to third person. Maybe that's what it is.
I mean, it's possible. It's the movement speed is a little, well, it, for the analog nub, it was a little bit too sensitive for me at first. I actually had to turn the sensitivity down a little bit. But I think that's another thing that one of the things that I liked about it is it had that option to, I mean, you can adjust all the different speeds. I just never even thought about putting in the stylus and trying it that way. But I think it would also just be kind of a pain because of the fact that you have the cover base and the aiming and the reloading, that I could actually see that not being a very optimal way to play that game.
Yeah, I think that mainly falls on the fact that it's third person and it's not first person. I never had any issues with Metroid Prime Hunters either in first person. Or Dementium.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Oh, I can't wait for
which
that
is coming.
Speaking of remakes, chills. I can't wait for that.
But okay, so let's go ahead and go to Chris and what he's been playing.
I have been playing what everyone's hating on these past couple of weeks that came out on a PlayStation 4 called The Order.
Okay, hold on. I need to throw out a disclaimer. Christopher King is our resident Sony fanboy. Okay, continue.
Okay. Yes, I've been playing The Order by Ready at Dawn Studios. Okay, I've not beaten the game yet. I'm about halfway through it. But what I've played of it is I understand why a lot of people do not like it. It is... There's too many problems to begin with. But the start for starters is literally like a closed-in, feels like cramped, Gears of War game. You're literally like shooting guys, and as soon as you're shooting, you move forward. And the space is so little for you to move through, where you're just like, okay, well, I'm just going to walk through here, and then I know there's a cutscene that's probably going to happen, then I'm going to sit here for 5 minutes, watch this cutscene for a story that really is not all that great, and we're just going to continue. And the whole fact of this whole werewolves thing, or lichens, or wherever the heck they are, they're supposed to be seem like a threat when they showed the game off at E3 last year. It's not really a threat. I mean, they're just, you see them, you shoot them, you're done with them. And then you have quick time events, and it's like, okay, well, let's move on from this. I feel like it should have been more to it than what it was.
So how are the cinematics?
The cinematics are beyond beautiful. Because of the fact that, like, it's so linear, where there's not that much movement, you can actually move around, is the reason why it looks so doggone gorgeous. Because if imagine FMS Second Son, but in very linear terms, and they just have more time just to focus on graphics and detail for the game.
I was about to say, it's kind of hard to imagine an open-world game in a linear corridor.
No, it's hard to imagine it, but that's probably the only closest PlayStation 4 game that I could actually think of that was actually looked gorgeous.
Is it almost like they took a 2D game and just like flipped it into 3D?
No, I mean, No. But it's just too linear. And the combat system is just really weird. And, like, each time you melee someone, it goes into, like, a cinematic, even though when you're probably going to get shot and die, you're still in the cinematic and you can't do anything about it. And you're like, really? Why am I punching this guy, like, 3 or 4 times when I just hit one button?
Gotta love those QTEs, man.
Yeah, but those QTEs are really annoying. I mean, QTEs are like, I remember one game that actually did it kind of right, and I remember from what you and I played, Anthony, that we actually liked the game, The Bourne Conspiracy.
Yeah. Bourne Conspiracy was actually really good.
Yeah, and for how they used the QuickTime events in that game was actually pretty darn good. And way they use it in the order is, like, really annoying because there's so many of them.
Yeah, I think Resident Evil 4 was another game that used them correctly.
Yeah.
They didn't make too many of them. I'm trying to think off the top of my head some of the other games that had QuickTime events that weren't too obnoxious, I guess. I don't know. I don't really know. Like, Resident Evil is, like, the one that, like, really pops in my mind. Do you have any, Ryan?
No, not really. I mean, for the most part, they're not done well in most games, except for the few.
I know you're an Xbox gamer. Did you play Rise?
I did play a little bit of Rise. And
was that obnoxious, just like the Order?
You know what's funny is the little bit that I played of Rise and what I've seen of the Order, I would say that they are both very similar. And probably gameplay, except one has guns and the other is much more melee focused. But yeah, it's, you know, they're there more as a distraction from trying to tell the story and say, hey, this is a game, instead of like a 4 or 5 hour long movie.
It just seemed like it was too much of it. And it was really annoying when you're trying to actually focus. You're trying to get through, you're like, okay, this, I got this, let's get into it, and then next thing you know, you're talking about it, like, I really don't want one here. Or you sit there
for five minutes and watch
the story.
So what's your final judgment on this so far, from what you've played?
From what I've played, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm going to beat it. But
was it worth trading in Grand Theft Auto V and Far Cry 4?
Well, difference is I wasn't playing those games, and I beat Grand Theft Auto 5 twice. So, in a way, yes, but no.
If you had to spend $60 of your hard earned cash,
oh God, no,
would you have
I would not pay them for that.
would you have dropped $40 of your hard earned cash on this game?
I would have bought it for $20.
Okay, so it's a budget bin title.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
And that's the only reason why I buy it for 20 is because of the fact that I would say, like, this game looks gorgeous, let's just put it on and just let's see what happens.
I am interested to see how it looks on my TV, and, you know, because I'm still kind of, like, wanting to see that next-gen game that really blows me away, because, honestly, I haven't seen anything that's really any even different to me from the Wii U to the PS4. Like, there's not one game on PS4 I'm like, wow, this looks 10 times better than the Wii U.
I mean, this game will do that for you.
Yeah, see, like, that's the only reason I'm curious to see it, is because I want to be like, okay, this is why I bought a PlayStation 4.
Yeah. Now, I will say this. I've been hearing a lot of things that there's a sequel that's happening or whatever. If it does happen, I'm just going to say this now. Please learn from your mistakes.
Well, unfortunately, they don't seem like a studio that's going to learn from their mistakes, because they were acting like nothing was wrong in the first place.
Well,
like, if you look at all their Twitter rants, they like to the press and to the people that were mocking their game, like, they didn't seem like they were like, oh, our game's perfect, we're going to release it as is. Don't make fun of our game. It's great.
I don't know who thought that game was great, but they're...
Well, the people that made it, obviously, because everyone that makes their own game is going to think that they're making gold.
Well, it's true that, but we'll see what's actually that hit so many people say after all the sales come in.
Yeah, I think that's really what's going to matter at the end.
I mean, yeah, I mean, they could end up like how the Drive Club studio is going to end up.
What, because they can't even release the free version yet?
Yeah, as soon as they release the free version, then Sony's going to be like, okay, we're done. Bye.
Did you have something to add in there, Ryan?
Nope.
Oh, I thought I heard you trying to jump in.
Oh, no.
But, okay. So I'll go ahead and talk about the Wii U eShop title I've been playing. It's from a game studio called From Nothing Studios. It's called GravBlox Plus. So I'm going to go on the record and state that I can tell the amount of work and the amount of effort that the team over there has put into this title. It seems like they've really spent a lot of time on it. Unfortunately, like, the gameplay is pretty good. So it's basically a match 3 game, which I never even knew that title of a puzzle game until Pokemon Shuffle came out and the phenomenon that it is. All of a sudden I started hearing about these match 3 puzzles. I've never heard that term used, but so it takes off of that genre, but it also takes off of the Tetris genre because there's falling blocks. So as the blocks fall, you go ahead and you try to line them up in a match 3 setting, and it'll build up and your game's over. It's your game's over not when you run out of turns or moves or whatever in a normal match 3 game. It runs out when your screen fills up, just like in Tetris.
Sounds like Candy Crush.
It's It's like a mix between Candy Crush and Tetris.
Okay.
So you basically you have a couple different modes you can choose from. There's a story mode, which is basically it's the same thing as any other mode, except they give you 3 challenges you have to do. Some will be clear 3 red blocks, clear 3, you know, yellow blocks. But each level has 3 challenges, and you just got to meet those challenges. Then they have other modes that are like challenge mode, which is basically your Tetris mode, where as you progress, it speeds up and gets harder. They have a Zen mode, which is basically the same mode, but it never gets harder, so you can just play it forever and ever, as long as you don't fill up your screen. Then there's a puzzle mode, which actually I thought was the coolest mode, and that gives you a set, like, design of blocks, and you have to try to clear it in the amount of moves they give you. So that one actually made me think, and I actually enjoyed that one the most, because I really hadn't played anything that's, like, match 3 like that with that kind of option, so I thought that was pretty cool.
Cool.
Yeah, that was like the cooler, the best. I thought like the story mode was kind of blah. You get abducted by aliens, and instead of probing you, they test your mental wit, basically. But the game, I like the gameplay and I like what they were trying to do. Unfortunately, like, the presentation's just not there. Like, the menus are really clunky looking. The graphics are, I mean, it's in HD, but they're so bland that it's like, it's hard to forgive it, like, because as much effort as they put into content in this game, it's like, you, I don't know, I felt like maybe you should have just paid an artist to make it, like, pop out, make it stand out. Now, like, games like Candy Crush and Pokemon Shuffle, I feel like they do what they do right, because it's like it's a very vibrant, it's like popping out in front of you. Like, this is just like one solid color, like red block with like an X in it, or a purple block with like an 8 on it, and that, like, that's it. There's like no like nice looking designs for the blocks. It's just like really bland and drab. The soundtrack's really good though. It has a nice like sci-fi kind of soundtrack. It kind of matches the whole outer space feel. It's like a techno sci-fi soundtrack. I thought that like tied it together well with the theme they were going for. And one of the other big things is it's all gravity based. So yes, it's like Tetris, but you could actually change the direction of gravity. So in your block, if you match up like 3 blocks that are pointing to the left of the screen, then gravity will change and all your blocks will start falling to the left.
That's actually, and it, like, awesome.
Well, yeah. There's a lot of cool stuff in this game, but like, unfortunately, at the end of the day, it's just like the presentation's so bad that it's hard to distinguish this game from other match 3 games or puzzle games that do their puzzle and their story mode or whatever. They do it like, you know, so much better than this. I'm from the belief that it's all about gameplay, but you know, you have to take some kind of effort into the presentation as well. And I just felt like there's nothing special about it. That's what it is.
Mm. Okay. Kind of like the Order. I understand.
But yeah. So the other game I've been playing that I'll probably talk about it more next week because I've only played a few games of it was Hand of Fate, and I'm reviewing that. It'll be I should have it out before the next podcast, but if not, I'll talk about it again next podcast in a little bit more detail. But it's basically like Eye of Judgment or, you know, a card based game, but there's no cards. It's all virtual based, and it's like D&D. So you get your deck of cards, you get your hero, you go on an adventure, you flip over the cards, and it kind of gives you a storyline. So for instance, you know, you might be like, oh, you see a shiny weapon down the pit. Should you go down the pit? So, if you answer yes, it'll throw out four cards. Three of them are success. One's a failure. They will change it up too on the difficulty, but so if you pick your success, you get your weapon and you get out safely. If you get a failure, you might be attacked by an enemy or you might get hurt and lose a couple hit points. Now, if you get attacked by an enemy, it brings you to a battle sequence, and the battle sequence is pretty reminiscent of like a Batman game. I imagine with the sword play, it might even feel like an Assassin's Creed game. I've never really played too many Assassin's Creed games, but I would definitely compare it to a Batman game with like sword play. So you can counter, and then you kind of like, you know, swing behind the guy and then you could attack him. So it's very, very similar to the Batman fighting engine, which is pretty cool. So especially for like a, you know, little indie studio to put something together in 3D like that, it's actually pretty well done. And it's a nice departure from having a card-based game to be able to go into those 3D fighting levels. It really like mixes it up and makes it like less boring of, you know, just being the straight card game. There's also it's also really like really pretty game for an indie title. It's all in 3D. It looks really nice. I would say it looks like it could be better than anything I would see on the PS3. Like it looks that nice, and there's voice acting. I don't know if I mentioned that, but it's a nice little presentation wrapped up. I want to say, is it $20 or is it $15?
I think it's actually, I don't know.
Yeah, I want to say it's 15, but if it's 20, even at 20, it's a great value for that. I really feel like you'll get your price, you know, your money worth out of the game. I want to say at least, you know, 16 to 20 different quests, and every time you play through it could be different depending on what you pick and you know, how you build your deck. But again, I've only played through like two adventures, so I'm not really 100% sure how the rest of the game's going to go out, but from, you know, early impressions of the game, I really enjoyed it.
Oh, okay. Well, it's actually right now it's on for Steam, it's for $24.99.
Oh, maybe it is up there then. It seems like it, you know, it really seems like it's a higher budgeted game, so I wouldn't doubt to see a higher price on it.
Okay.
It definitely wouldn't be unbelievable.
It looks pretty awesome. Like, I'm tempted to buy it myself.
Yeah, it's good. I don't know if it's multiplayer. I don't think it is, so that would be cool, but I really don't think it is. So let's go ahead and jump into some news. This week is PAX East. It's actually GDC right now, but we're not going to be at GDC, and we will be at PAX East. So Mr. Chris King will be there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mike Johnston will be there. He's not on the podcast, unfortunately, tonight. But if you want to get in contact with either one of them, and you're a developer and you're going to be there, or if you're just going to hang out and you want to, you know, run up to him and say, hey, you could always contact Chris on Twitter. What's your Twitter handle?
It's actually, I don't remember. It's G-I or G-N.
I think it's G-N-I-K...
J-C.
J-C?
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. It's at G-N-I-K-J-C, and then Mike is at Micatron. And if you want to get in contact with either one of them, we'll be there all weekend. And we will be hanging out. So hit them up.
All right.
So, besides PAX East, actually, Well, I'll jump into something really cool that they announced at GDC, but it will be playable at PAX East, and that's the Shovel Knight DLC. I am super stoked for that. How are you feeling about that, Mr. Ryan?
I'm jazzed for anything Shovel Knight related.
Yeah, you know what's funny? I actually tweeted at Yacht Club Games, and I didn't think they'd actually get back to me because it was pretty funny. I was like, "Oh, you know, I'm happy that that you know they're whoring out the Shovel Knight character to make money, but a part of me is crying inside, you know, the Nintendo fan in me because I love seeing that as a Nintendo exclusive." And they actually tweeted back to me, which is pretty funny. So,
what did they tweet?
Oh, they just put that they were happy, you know, that they're bringing it to a wider audience and that they're improving the game and stuff. So, you know, and I was like, how do you improve on perfection? But
but I think the best thing for Shovel Knight, though, was to probably hit the Nintendo console first, because I think if it was the other way around, I don't think it would have quite have been the phenomenon that it is today.
I agree, but I mean, part of me still really wishes it stayed over on the Nintendo consoles. Like that's a character that, like, I really felt like, I don't know, I could have even seen him in like Smash Brothers. Like he just felt at home with Nintendo. But you know, whatever, it is what it is. They need to make money at the end of the day.
You could still come to Smash Brothers. It's not like he's gone forever.
Yeah, but he's tainted.
Oh.
Shovel Knight has now been tainted.
Yeah, but you don't say the same thing when you see like Snake come up on Smash Brothers or something like that.
That's because I was never really a big Snake fan. We already went over the whole Kojima hate thing, so I'm not going back there, okay? And being a Nintendo guy, I can care less if Sonic's on my system, because I'm not going to get into there either, because Ryan's going to say nasty things to me, but whatever.
No. Those words were not towards you, man. Not at all. That was me just having a bad moment of listening to too many people make their opinions facts about stuff that they never even touched or played.
Oh.
Yeah, that's boom. Here comes the boom.
Yeah.
Things got serious.
Oh, yeah.
I did. I felt real. Bad because I went back and I read that, and I was like, "Oh man, yeah, no, they weren't. It wasn't directed towards you, sir."
No, I know. Oh man, I'm still waiting for Chris to cut his wrestling promo.
You just wait. I'm gonna sneak it in there. Don't worry about it.
Please do. Please do. It's all right because I'm Batman.
Nice.
So back to Yacht Club Games and their DLC announcement for Shovel Knight. It is a free DLC. It's going to be called Plague of Shadows, and you will be controlling Plague Knight in an all-new story quest. So I am super excited for this. I believe they said it's going to hit Nintendo consoles first. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yay. So there's a little bit of love back for me and my fellow Nintendo fans, keeping it real. Mm. Keeping it real. But, what else do we see? There's more DLC news, Nintendo-related, on the 3DS. I'll let Mr. Ryan talk about this, because I'm not really as particularly fond of this title as he is.
Oh, the Monster Hunter DLC?
Absolutely.
The Link costumes and stuff like that?
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed.
I'm excited.
I can't say I'm excited. Do I have to quest to get these things, or can I turn on my game, download it, and play as Link?
It's my understanding that it's not quest-related. I could be wrong. I think it's going to be similar to the Mario and Luigi costumes. I think you get it, and you just kind of go build it, and then you can play as it, as Link.
So I can play as Link right away?
I believe so, yes.
Well, then I might be playing some Monster Hunter soon.
Oh, yeah. Sure. I need to hop online and play with me so I can show you some of the cool stuff in the ropes and get you hooked.
What was that, Chris?
Okay, I have a question now. Now I'm like, this sounds a lot like it's becoming like Hyrule Warriors. I could be wrong. I could not be wrong. Sounds like Hyrule Warriors, just with, instead of a lot of people, you have one big giant monster. Am I correct?
Well, no, but it doesn't take place in the Zelda universe. This is just like a Link add-on.
I know it was like a Link add-on, but it's like, doesn't it feel like, I don't know, from an outside perspective, from someone who's never really played Monster Hunter and knows Hyrule Warriors, how that was, kind of like how Dynasty Warriors was, and now it's like, oh, you play as Link in Monster Hunter 4. It's like, okay, that's pretty much like Hyrule Warriors, is instead of just with a lot of people, you have one big giant monster.
No, let me put it in a better perspective for a Sony fanboy.
Okay.
Okay. So that would be like you having Uncharted,
yes,
and being able to play as Cole or whatever his name is from Infamous.
Bad similarity.
No, it's not. I'm sorry, Sony doesn't have as good as IPs as Nintendo. That's the best I can do. But I'm just saying.
Another kind of to reverse it. It would be playing, say, Bloodborne and throwing in a Nathan Drake skin.
Or playing Mortal Kombat, whatever, and playing as Kratos.
Yeah.
Or playing Shovel Knight and playing as Kratos.
It's just fancy.
Or playing Little Big Planet and playing as Kratos. Okay. Oh, wait, do we see a common theme here?
Yeah, we do. Okay, all right.
So, but yeah, it's still Monster Hunter 4. It's more or less to attract that Nintendo fan that hasn't bought it. That, and I've noticed this is what third parties have been doing when they do release games on the Wii or on the Wii U or the 3DS. Is if you want to entice a Nintendo fan, stick Mario or Link on it, and they're probably gonna buy it.
Yep.
Well, yeah, since it's like mainly all Nintendo is first party exclusive, so I don't understand why not.
Yeah, well, exactly, and the thing is if I can download and play as Link day one without having to do some silly like fetch quest, you're gonna, you know, you can bet your bottom dollar I'm gonna download that, especially since it's free. I'm gonna download it and I'm gonna be like, okay, like I'm gonna be going out killing monsters as Link. You're damn straight I'm gonna do that.
Hmm.
So, moving on to the next order of business. I know Chris doesn't have any Nintendo systems, but Michael wanted to talk about something, but he couldn't be here, so we'll talk about it for him. And that was, what amiibos we have gotten in the past couple weeks?
All of Wave 3?
You got all of them?
Except for Meta Knight, yeah.
Oh, man.
I currently have an extra Sonic and an extra Mega Man, though.
I need an extra King DDD.
Haven't found him extra yet.
If you find him extra,
of course,
you know where I live.
I do.
But
which is kind of weird because, you know, you've probably never even been in the state of Florida, and if you have, that's kind of weird. But
I have
not. See, but yet you know where I live because you're my source of amiibos.
I'm your dealer.
Because obviously, what was that?
I said I'm your amiibo dealer.
You are, because obviously the West Coast, or closer to the West Coast, you know, gets them way before we do. Damn port strikers.
Yeah, which is all now fixed, thank goodness.
Yes, so now we should have lots of amiibo running around. So I did manage, between all my awesome friends out there, I managed to pick up Sonic, Mega Man, Ike, and is that it from this wave?
Not counting retailer exclusives?
I did not get Lucario, I did not get Meta Knight, and I did not get King DDD. I got everybody else, I think.
Yeah,
but
I think you have all of
Mega them. Man's awesome, and he's William Chan approved. So.
William Chan approved?
You not remember William Chan?
I do remember William Chan, but like...
I'm not gonna do my impersonation because... because that might be construed as wrong,
yeah,
to be on the air.
Yeah,
so. I will keep that between us. I'll do it for you afterwards. But he was an awesome customer. We used to have that came in the shop. So, and he was a huge Mega Man fan. In fact, one time he wrote me a letter that had the 80 reasons why Mega Man's the greatest franchise of all time.
Oh, yes,
I wish I still had
that.
It. I wish I still had it, but I do not have it. But yes, he actually did spend the time, wrote me a letter of 80 different reasons why Mega Man is the greatest game of all time.
That's awesome.
I remember that. Oh my gosh.
And
then I was having like a mental breakdown.
Yeah, I really should have framed that because that's amazing.
Oh man, yeah, I remember that. I remember when he had a major breakdown when Mad World came out. Oh.
Oh yeah, because M-rated games should not be on Nintendo consoles. That was his theory.
Yeah.
Well, oh yeah, it's funny because a lot of people think M-rated games aren't on Nintendo consoles to this day.
Yeah, and he would get mad whenever M1 was released. I wonder how he felt about Bayonetta and how much Nintendo pushed it. Yeah, but anyways, do you hold your Sonic amiibo near and dear?
No.
Were you able to pre-order a gold Mario?
No, I was not, but it's funny. Did you see all the news today about that?
Yeah, they said if you go there, you'll get one.
Yeah.
Basically. So I'll let you know if I go there, if I need one, if you go there or vice versa, whatever. I wasn't going to buy a double, but you know, it's gold. I got to get it.
Well, what's funny is I'm interested to see just how readily available it's going to be. And if the people that paid $200 on eBay for it are going to be kicking themselves in the posterior because they paid $200 for something that they can walk into Walmart the day of and buy.
Yeah, it's going to be that way, so hopefully.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, after this many months, you know, I honestly think Amiibo caught everybody by surprise, including Nintendo. You know, I don't...
Well, yeah, that's why they were caught with their pants down.
You know, I think...
They got to open more sweatshops so we can make more of them.
Well, I would just and then reading that comment where they said some of those are made, like because of the sculpts or something, are actually done by hand and not by a machine.
Yeah,
that's another reason why it was so hard to get all that stuff out.
Well, that just makes them that much cooler.
Yeah, right. But it's again, I think it caught them off guard. I mean, but hell, how many millions of those things have they sold in the past 3 months?
I want to say up in the 7 million.
Yeah,
range.
Like
that's a lot of cheddar. That's probably more money than Sony's made in the past year.
Oh wait, it is.
That's a lie.
And Sony's lost money. Like $15 billion in debt. Oh
no. Sony's made money, but the thing you don't realize is they've spent more than they've made.
Well, yeah. It's not their fault that they're like everyone wants to hack them and send out movies a lot.
they're like $15 billion in debt.
Well, yeah,
that's spending like the U.S. government.
And they're also in trouble of losing their TV division, and as well as what was the other division they were talking about getting rid of?
It was the phone.
Oh yeah, their smartphone division.
The only thing that does anything for them now is games. The only division that...
Yeah, and the PlayStation just passed 20 million, which is a pretty impressive feat considering there's, like, no real, like, piece of software on there that's, like... I would say probably Dragon Age Inquisition is probably the only thing. But can't you get that on PS3 as well?
Yep.
No.
PS3...
You can?
360 and Xbox One. Yep. It is a cross-gen title.
See, like, and that's the thing, is, like, there's not, like, that one game where you, I mean, even on the website that spells ignorance, their top 25 games for the PS4, number one was The Last of Us Remastered. How do you have a top game that's a remaster?
Hey, I mean, you got to look at the fact. You got to look at this. The first year, a lot of games didn't come out for a lot for you that you could say, like, oh, my God, this was amazing. The first year of Wii U, you can't. I'm sorry, but
the only two games on the Wii U there's three games that I would say were really good in the first year from Nintendo would be Lego City Undercover, Pikmin 3, and New Super Mario Brothers. U.
That
came out that was like the end of the first year.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I guess if you want to go that direction, I guess it could be going into the second year. But, and I mean, I don't know. I think Wonderful 101's up there, too.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about Wonderful 101. So there you go. Yeah, four titles that were pretty darn good
okay.
in the first.
I can say Infamous Second Son. I can say The Last of Us Remastered. I mean,
but that's a remaster. I could put The Legend of Zelda Wind Waker in there if you want.
Okay, do that. But like, it still sold copies. It still outsold.
Yeah.
It still outsold the Xbox One, which is what they wanted to do in the first place.
Oh, well,
no, the only reason the PlayStation's outselling the Xbox One is because the consumer, for some reason, thinks it has a better resolution, which it doesn't. If they're both running 1080p.
It was
sorry to break it to you.
It's that E3 conference that did it, man. That,
yeah.
No,
that digital thing, and then Sony just saying, this is how you share games on PlayStation, and handed it to their buddy. That is,
which doesn't actually work as well as advertised.
Well, no, but I mean, that's because... I mean, Sony even since then has came out and said that their original plan was the same as Microsoft's. But when they saw what happened when Microsoft announced it, they all went, oh, crap, we can't do that, and changed the complete direction of it because they were going to do the exact same thing. But
Microsoft should have just bit the bullet because that's the wave of the future anyways.
Oh,
no, they would have crashed and burned.
I don't think they would have. I think they would have been fine. You know, the Kinect being bundled with the system for $100 more is what hurt them more than anything.
This is true. They could have went totally for it.
Well, there's more exclusive games for the Xbox than there are for the PlayStation.
Okay.
That's why I have an Xbox right now and not a PlayStation.
But which one would you actually really pay for? How many exclusives?
You're talking to the wrong guy, man.
Would you actually really buy an Xbox One? Right.
The only one I would buy is Sunset Overdrive, because that's the only one that hits my liking of a game.
Exactly, and the only one you would actually really buy in a PS4 would be The Last of Us, because you've never played it.
Well, why would I buy it when I could just borrow it from you?
Exactly. You would still play it.
Yeah, but I would actually pay full price for Sunset Overdrive.
Exactly. So, I mean, it goes hand in hand.
Yeah, I mean, I see what you're saying. But there's, I mean, because the thing, but I think Sony's duped the consumer to believe that the PlayStation 4 is this, like, ultra-powerful beast, and it's so much better than the Xbox One, like, spec-wise. But it's not really. It's the same system.
It's not really, you have to look at the fact of, like, what Xbox One has and, like, what it's running off of. Because they have like,
but the consumer, if you look at some of the polls they had, like the Nielsen poll or the Nielsen poll that came out, was the number one reason was because the consumer felt that they had a better resolution, and that's just absolutely not even true.
Yeah.
Well, like every website has reported the fact that either Xbox One has been putting out like 980p or something like that, where the PS4 would come out at 1080p always steadily.
Well, I mean, they're running in 980p or whatever, but the system's resolution output is still 1080p.
True, but it's not 1080p.
Well, yeah, but the average consumer isn't going to be able to tell that difference, though. Most people can't tell the difference between 720p and 1080p.
And that's actually a true statement. Unless you have like an 80 to 100 inch TV, you're not even going to notice the difference.
This is true, but if you have more people with the word of mouth saying like, hey, yeah, this runs at 1080p and it runs a lot better on the PS4, you're going to get a lot more people on the PS4. I'm sorry, that's just the way out it goes.
Well, yeah, and then it's a trickle effect, because the first wave of people that bought the systems were duped into believing it was this more powerful system, and then since they had it, then their friends bought it because they want to play online with them, and it's a trickle effect. That's really what it comes down to, because why would I get a PS4? Because most of the people I know, I would say probably 85% of the people I know chose that PlayStation 4 over the Xbox One. So that was my main purpose. Plus, I do like Uncharted, and that's the one Sony game that I really, really want to play.
Well, and Sony markets those third-party cross-platform games better. They almost make it sound like some of those third-party games are exclusive to a Sony platform.
Yeah, they do a really good job of marketing their third party. I got to give them that.
How many people actually probably out there thought Destiny was a PlayStation exclusive for a bit?
Well, it helped that they bundled with it too. But I don't even remember where we were starting this conversation.
About news, we went to Amiibo, then we went there to, you know.
Oh man, that was intense. Okay, so let's jump back onto the news, and So today, Ryan's favorite series, they announced the release date of Metal Gear Solid 5. September 1st. Isn't that the second game in September they've just announced recently? Wasn't there another one that they just announced for September?
I thought that was the one.
Not Kojima or them or Konami. I'm just saying in general. I thought there was like another big title that got announced for like September 17th or something.
I'm not sure.
Oh, you guys kill me.
I was more excited about the Unity and Unreal thing kind of happening.
Oh, how the Unity engine's free?
And so's Unreal, but you.
But I. I, as far as I've seen, I don't think the Unreal supports the Wii U, whereas Unity does, so that's more exciting.
Well, exactly. Well, but that's kind of the funny thing, because, you know, Unity 5 and Unreal 4, from my industry insiders, say they're pretty, like, viable to one another. And then the fact that, you know, they do support the Wii U right out of the gate is pretty sweet. That's, you know... I think that's really going to start to open up some really cool looking games from the indie scene, and some of that we've seen before that was hitting the PS4 and Xbox One probably start showing up on the Wii U.
That'll be pretty cool. I know what the other game was, and I'm surprised Chris King did not know this, but it was Mad Max. That was the other one that was announced for September.
Why are you surprised I wouldn't know that?
Because you are all over movie games. Get out of here.
I'm not even really looking forward to a movie anyway, so I want to be focused on the...
Coming from the guy that pre-ordered Jumper.
Hey.
That's right. You will never live that down. That's officially on tape, son.
Episode 27, Gaming Give Your Podcast. Chris King comes out and says he pre-ordered Jumper, the video game.
Oh yeah, it's out. It's out in the open now. So I'm gonna. Everyone, mark this on your calendar. It'll probably be March 4th, but it was recorded on March 3rd. Chris King has officially come out and admit that he did indeed pre-order Jumper.
The video game. And I played it at GameStop, and then decided, nope, that wasn't for me.
I don't think it was for anybody.
We had some used copies when we were at the store.
Okay, let me go ahead and I'm going to promote some stuff on our YouTube channel. Chris has and the order unboxing. You got the collector's edition,
yes,
didn't you?
Yes, I did.
How are you feeling about that decision?
Yeah, keep going.
Also, Jeff has this video up on our YouTube channel of his unboxing of the new 3DS. I want to say he has Majora's Mask as well, and maybe Monster Hunter Collector's Edition. We have a bunch up there now, so go check it out. Leave him some comments. If you like it, tell him you like it. If you don't, go ahead and tell him you don't. It doesn't matter to me either way. But but yeah, go to our game or YouTube channel. It's just look up Game Gravy. You'll see it there. And we have those there. They're also on the site as well. Hey, did the Order Collector's Edition come with the belt buckle?
No, it didn't. Came with a sweet statue, though.
You know, I like the belt buckle. You are the undisputed heavyweight champion of the Sony world with that
it's
belt
true.
Buckle.
True. Also, I have a Superman belt buckle, too, but you don't see me parading that around.
Well, come on. No one wants to wear that. And not after Zack Snyder ruined it.
Yeah.
Oh man, it's just cutting deep tonight, huh?
Yeah, get a steak knife and just go all in.
Hey man, I brought the knife because I came for the buffet.
That Golden Corral buffet.
Oh no, I don't go there. That's like the trash of the trash that eats there, man.
Over there, Oriental buffet.
Right, well, not the Bradenton one. The Bradenton one's not as bad. But the one down over here in Punta Gorda, yeah, that's like the trash of the trash.
Or the Oriental Buffet back in Sarasota.
Yeah, I like that one. Mrs. Chan's?
No, that was the Oriental Buffet. We remember we went there?
Oh, yeah, the one on B-Ridge?
Yeah, we remember when we went there when before we saw the Incredible Hulk.
Oh, my God. That's, you're going way back, man. Come on, man.
Yeah, that was back in the day.
So that's the only time we're ever going to mention that Edward Norton movie on this podcast. So, again, you can write the date down for that one. So let's go ahead and jump into some listener mail. So the first bit of listener mail, I don't know who it was from, but they were asking about Project Morpheus with the new specs released today. How do we feel about it, and what do we think the pricing is going to be for it?
Not going to meet expectations and too expensive to purchase.
What do you mean by not going to meet expectations? Because I think the specs sound pretty sexy myself.
Yeah, well, specs are always sexy, but 120 frames per second? Like, I doubt it. Well, aren't we supposed to be playing games, you know, in 4K resolution on the PlayStation 4 in 120 frames per second in 1080p? And most games don't even run at 60 frames per second in 1080p.
Well, games don't even run at 4K on the PlayStation 4 to begin with. So that.
Well, no, but that was something that they were talking about at their E3 conference, though, many, many moons ago with it, was that games could support up to 4K resolution.
Yeah, all it will take is a patch. I mean, because they put 3D into the PlayStation 3, like, years after it launched.
Yeah, I don't see it happening, I think. And it's not just Sony, but a lot of the times, I think a lot of those guys, you know, they talk, it's like Peter Molyneux, they give the full gist of what they believe it can do, but not in an actual development environment.
Sounds like a Samsung phone kind of a thing.
That's why I have an iPhone. Oh, man. But, I was reading comments on the Sony blog or the PlayStation blog, and, like, people were like, yeah, I'm okay as long as it's the same price as the PlayStation 4, or I'd be okay if it was $500. I'm like, who are these people?
Yeah.
Like, who has, like, disposable income to drop $500 on a stupid headset?
People who buy the Order Collector's Edition?
Oburn!
Honestly,
Man. Hey, hold on. I'll be right back. I gotta get some aloe for that one.
Sorry, I couldn't help you. I don't do it very often, but when I do, I make sure it counts.
Oh, man. Okay. Let's put it like this. I would only buy it for maybe $200.
$200's still a little steep. I think $150 is the sweet spot.
But
when, I'll just wait for it to go down in price, like my sexy little Sony monitor I have right here that was originally $500 that I paid $99 for. You know, I'll just wait for that.
Yeah, that I paid $500 for. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, my $400 looks a lot nicer than your $500. Man.
And I don't use it anymore.
Oh, where is
it's
it?
It's at my parents' house.
Oh, man, pass it over here so I can have dual screens.
Why would I do that?
Because you love me. So the other mail is a question asking us about PlayStation Plus. They said having a PlayStation Plus subscription, or I guess you could even – I'll even throw this in there. I guess we can say an Xbox Live subscription at this point since they have games with gold. But having a PlayStation Plus subscription, do you find that it hinders your buying of indie games on the console? Do you wait to buy indie games to see if they're going to be free, or do you just buy and say who cares when they announce their free games each month?
Honestly, when the indie games come out on the PlayStation Plus, like, when indie games come out, I usually just wait for PlayStation Plus because I know it's going to go on there. So, that's...
I'm exactly the same way. I will buy a day one indie game on the Wii U. No thoughts about it. I am super hesitant to buy an indie game on the PlayStation or Xbox because I feel that if you just wait... And we've seen this with the Xbox One now where, what was it, D4? Is that what the name of the game was?
Yeah, I think, yeah.
Where if you just wait 1 or 2 months, that game that you might want will be on there and it will be free. And to me, if their selling point of getting Xbox Live or getting PlayStation Plus is that I'm getting those free games, well, then why would I buy the games? And I say that being their selling point because now that my Xbox Live subscription has lapsed and I'm a Silver member, when I sign on to my Xbox 360, the first thing I see is it says get $460 worth of games for free. So, and then if you click on more details, it's the whole Games with Gold thing. So that is they're not even selling me on group chat. They're not selling me on online multiplayer. They are selling me on that they're giving me $460 worth of free games. So if that's what I'm getting, if I spend any money out of there, I'm losing my value of that $460 worth of free games. So I feel that it's almost like it's almost like it's like a crap shot. It's you have to take a chance. Is this game going to be free or should I drop $20 on it? And I don't really like whatchamacallit, like today Oddworld, they that's a free game and that was a $30 game. If I spent $30 on that game, I'd be pissed.
I mean, that's. I mean, you can only go so far with how it is. Oddworld was not really a popular game now as it was back then.
No, it's not. But I mean, I bought Valiant Hearts, and I bought it not too long ago, and I didn't think it would be free because it was a Ubisoft game. So I was like, they won't make it free. They hadn't made Child of Light free yet, so why would they make Valiant Hearts free? So I went and bought it for like $10. I think it was on sale. But then that's a free game today, and I'm like, oh man, I'm like, why did I even buy it? I'm like, seriously, that's it. I'm not buying any more downloadable only games on the PlayStation. Yeah. I bought Madden, but I know Madden will never be free on the PlayStation. I bought Knack, but I'm pretty sure Knack's never going to be free. If it was going to be free, it'd probably be free by now. And I only spent $10 on Knack, so it's not like. It's breaking the bank. That was a $60 game.
Yeah. Honestly, I'm probably going to call it right now. What they're going to announce at E3 for what's going to come on PlayStation Plus probably be The Order, Little Big Planet 3.
No way. No way they'll put The Order on there for free this quick.
A lot of people are trading.
No, what they'll do is they'll put Killzone on there in hopes that people will buy all the expansion stuff for it.
I don't know. I think maybe The Order will be on there, but it's going to drop down in price fast.
Oh, I'm sure it will because that game's not going to have any legs to it.
No, it's not. That's why they're going to get rid of it.
So, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. How does it affect your purchasing decisions, Mr. Ryan?
I think it probably depends on the indie title itself. I mean, for me, I'm right there with you. Like, day one, Wii U, I usually don't think about it. But on the Xbox One, a little bit more hesitation. Some of it, I think, probably because of the price, but I haven't really seen Xbox, like Microsoft, do that with that stuff, except for like D4. Usually they come out of the gate and they're free, kind of like iDarb. But I think that also might be because I don't think the indie community with on Xbox is as vocal. I don't know as much about the indie games coming to the Xbox One as I say I do on the stuff coming to the Wii U. I don't see that.
I'm not going to lie to you. I don't even know where there's a good site to get information on what games are coming out for the Xbox One and the Xbox 360. Like, I've had some of our reviewers on our site ask me to request games for them, and I don't even know where to find, like, the new releases for those systems. Like, there's not, like, a PlayStation blog or the Nintendo download email that they send out. There's nothing. I don't know where to find that information from.
The best place is basically Xbox.com or finding out the game, via Twitter or, because following different devs who, are pushing.
I do follow Major Nelson, and he used to be really good during the 360, but he's kind of tapered off. Like, he doesn't announce the games as much as he used to. I don't know if he maybe doesn't work there anymore or he has a less of a role, but I remember when they were really big on the arcade when it first came out, they were kind of the only ones doing it. Every week, he would be dropping all the games that were coming out, and I don't see him doing that as much anymore.
No, and I agree, and I think that's probably some of the issue too, is just because, but I mean, I've even heard some of the developers that develop on Nintendo talk about that stuff though too, is it's almost easier to release a game on a Nintendo platform because you know how to get to their audience, whereas with PlayStation and Xbox, it's harder to reach said audience as far as the game and stuff is concerned, unless Sony or Microsoft themselves pick it up and decide to, you know, advertise the crap out of it.
Nintendo has a very hard audience to read, though.
Well, yeah, but I mean, at least you can, like, being able to communicate and get to that audience is way easier than on Xbox or PlayStation.
Because I know Shovel Knight sold well, but I don't know if it sold as well as it should have. On like say the Wii U.
Well, what did they say that first week or first month? What was it, over 100,000 copies?
Yeah, but that was between all three. That was Steam, 3DS.
Well,
and
yeah,
Wii
but
U.
The thought, like, wasn't it 70% of it was the Nintendo platforms?
Yes, which I think there was more percent, which was 3DS, which is kind of weird. I just don't get that. Like, if you have the opportunity to get like the handheld version or the HD version, I'm going HD version and every time.
True. I mean, I ended up doing both, but that's me.
Oh man, this guy
double dipped like crazy, man. Oh, I double dipped on Stick It to the Man. I got that on Wii U, and I had that on my PlayStation. Did the same thing with Chariot.
I only double dipped on Stick It to the Man because I got it for PlayStation Plus.
Yeah, I did too. I did the download, you know, because it was a PS Plus thing.
Yeah,
but I mean, it's still to show the numbers and the love for those indie guys. So.
So I don't know the details, but how does releasing a game like Ali Ali 2? On the day it launches, how is making that a free PlayStation Plus game? How does that benefit the developer?
Sony drops them a huge lump sum of cash.
This is true.
Like how much cash are we talking? Because I didn't think Sony had any.
Well, you know, we also talk about them spending more than they make. So
it's like, you know, we're going to drop this thing off at, by your office. It's a note. It has three letters on it. It's three vowels. It's called IOU. So we'll get back with you guys when you guys are out of business and, you know, Roll Seven's no longer here because, you know, we never paid you. You know, that we'll just say thank you,
that's,
right?
That's Microsoft that doesn't pay their devs.
Okay. That was Microsoft. Is that why the Phantom Dust Studio went out of business?
Well, what was it? Undead Labs, State of Decay, the fastest selling Xbox Live arcade title, and one of the most probably next to Minecraft. It had sold a million units, and they still didn't even get their first payment from Microsoft. I think it was 6 months after the game launched.
Wow. So is this rumor true that I'm hearing Microsoft only bought like Mahjong or whatever because they had some tax loophole so they can get money into the country from like an overseas account?
It's funny. Like, I don't know if it's true, but I would not put it past a business to do that.
I swear I was reading that today, and I'm like, that is like, if that's true, that's just like kind of ridiculous.
Well, you know, that's the way business works. If you're a multi-billion-dollar company and you can save billions of dollars by acquiring a small company, you know, in some other country and have a crap ton of money over there.
But we're talking about a small company that they paid what, like $2 billion
for? Yeah, but they'll make their money back off of that and merch.
Yeah, I don't get the whole Minecraft thing.
Yeah.
Do you play that?
I did, yes.
You did? So are you recovering?
No, I still enjoy it. Like I said, I didn't see the appeal when it first came out. I played it. I enjoyed the crap out of it. Played a lot of it until they did an update and it ruined like the water temple thing that I had built in the game because it changed the biome, so all my water froze. And then I was kind of done with it from that point forward. But I do. It's that creation aspect, man. And it's a game where I can just kind of roam around and not really do anything, and then when I feel like doing stuff, you can do some really neat stuff in the game if you learn how to do it right.
The only thing cool I ever seen come out of that game was the map of The Legend of Zelda. That was amazing.
Wasn't someone
no, there's
Game of Thrones intro in there? I heard someone, someone doing that.
Yeah, there's some crazy stuff because of all the things that you can do, from building pistons and making doors, opening close, creating waterfalls. I mean, it's the ultimate sandbox.
Yeah.
So.
I guess I'm not really a big fan of it. I don't think anything will ever change my mind on that.
And it's funny, kind of back to the indie titles and buying stuff. And I mean, how many indie titles do you guys know are coming to your PlayStations? Or which ones do you know about? I bet you
the only indie games I know are the ones from the Spring Fever.
Right, or something like a No Man's Sky. You know, Microsoft, it's most people know of like Ori and the Blind Forest. You know, but nobody really heard about, I think it was Never Alone, which is actually really good. Nobody knows about half the stuff that hits unless Microsoft or somebody grabs a hold of it, because there's no real way to go on to even the dashboard and find that stuff. You can't go on to the dashboard into the store and go indie titles. You know, it's really mixed in, and you have no idea the coming soon. It's there, you know, on a little thumbnail, but it's not always there either. So
I still think the PlayStation does it the best with their PlayStation blog. Like, I love their PlayStation blog website. Like, I go there, and they give you so much information on everything that's coming out for their system.
Well, and that could be another reason why they're, you know, number one with 20 million units sold. Is it might not be the games that are out, but the fact that they're, you know, they're communicating with the consumer.
No, it's smoke and mirrors. That's the reason they're number one. They fool the customer into believing they're getting something more than they're not.
Well, or, you know, if you look back at console sales trends, the guys that usually get their butts handed to them one generation tend to be, you know, the top dog the next.
Yeah, but I don't feel like they got their butts handed to them. At the beginning they did, but they definitely made a comeback. And if they didn't overtake Xbox 360, they're pretty darn close.
Yeah,
to
no, they were pretty close at the end of the generation. But I don't think most people realize that, because Sony always seemed to be the underdog last gen.
And let's be honest here. Xbox's numbers are way overinflated because people bought 5 to 10 systems because of the
that's
Red Ring
true.
Problem.
Well, yeah, and that's true too. And the PS3 was one of the, and probably the best piece of gaming hardware as far as reliability that Sony ever produced.
Well, the second and third model PS3s. The first model's terrible.
Hey, you still got your 80 gig, don't you? Or 60 gig?
No, I had to get rid of it, man. It kept overheating.
Never mind then.
I got to find a PS2 because I can't play any of my PS2 games because I traded my PS2 in because it was backwards compatible at the time.
Could you buy a PS2 now from GameStop since they started doing that again?
Yeah, I don't want to spend $30 on a PS2 right now.
You can trade them in, but you can't buy them at all locations yet.
But you could. But you can pick up a PS2 from. I think Walmart even still sells them.
So.
I want to say, but I mean those ones are probably still like $80.
Not be.
Yeah, they probably
never
are.
Never drops the price, man. They still have the GoldenEye Collector's Edition for the Wii at $50 at Walmart.
Oh.
Yeah, and it'll still be there in 10 years. It'll be like a relic. Drake, Nathan Drake will be hunting in Walmart for that thing. It'll be such a relic.
Oh.
So you're gonna cut this promo, Chris?
Am I gonna cut this promo? Well, I have one more question here that I have from Listmail.
What's that?
You know that dress that's been falling around last week on Facebook and all that.
Is this a joke, Chris?
I don't know. What is your thoughts on it? Is it white and gold or is it blue and black? It doesn't matter.
Is this a joke, Chris? Believe that. But so before the podcast, Chris made a statement that I think I need to bring out for everybody. He said that Marvel doesn't know how to do TV shows.
Oh wrong. Yeah.
So that also was said on March 3rd. So Chris, as Ace Ventura would say, just give me a chance, coach.
I can't. I'm a DC TV show guy. I can't.
They only have two TV shows. I know you like that Smallville, but still.
They're going to be
No, but you said you're a DC guy.
Smallville was way back in the day. It lasted 10 seasons before it. Oh. I mean, come on now.
Okay, torture yourself through the first season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I promise you, the last 3 to 4 episodes you'll actually enjoy. Watch the movies where they would fall in, because they kind of take place in the middle of when Thor drops and then when Captain America drops. So make sure
I think that's when S.H.I.E.L.D. really hit its stride.
Yeah. So basically, you need to just torture yourself through it, just so you can get to know the characters. Watch Thor. There's a cleanup episode after the events of Thor. Plus, you know, you can never go wrong watching Thor again, because that movie's amazing. After that, watch your couple of more episodes. Make sure you look online to find the chronology of the series. So right before you go and watch the last few episodes, make sure you watch Captain America Winter Soldier, and then right after that, the show gets awesome. And there's no really spoiler alert, because you already know what happens, but then you even get to see Hydra in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Oh yeah. And then once Hydra's in there, then everything's up in question. You don't know what's going on, who's working for who, what's doing what, and then it gets amazing. And then season 2 takes that and amplifies it by whatever you want to amplify it by, because it's that much awesomer. And then guess what? They had the mid-season finale, and we found out that Sky has powers because she's an Inhuman. Ooh. Oh yeah,
that I think that's huge. The fact that they're introducing Inhumans on the small screen before the movie even hits, I think, is a big thing for them.
And Agent Carter is just pure excellence. Like I'm serious, Chris. Go watch Agent Carter. Show's awesome. Yep.
It definitely belongs up there with the rest of the stuff. I mean, it doesn't have the budget of the movies, but it's Agent Carter was fantastic.
All right.
And you say you're not a Marvel TV guy. I know when Daredevil drops, you will totally be mouth closed and won't say that ever again.
No, I probably will watch Daredevil. I'll give that a chance.
No, you need to give Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. a chance, and you need to give Agent Carter a chance. I'm telling you.
All right.
If you like the Marvel Cinematic Universe, then it just like fills in the gaps.
I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just ABC. I'm just like having hard
time. Why? You didn't like Lost?
Well, everyone likes Lost until after the fourth season. They never.
Well, you know, but you gotta admit, like, any time that Locke and Ben were on screen together, like, that was gold.
Well, yeah,
pure gold.
Exactly. I mean, you look at...
Okay, it's 2015. Why are we talking about Lost?
He was actually doing well. Like, I would say Scandal or How to Get With Her.
I don't know what all those are. I just watch the Marvel shows, and then I watch Once Upon a Time.
Oh, that's God.
I watched all the Marvel shows and Walking Dead, and that's it.
Oh, no, I'm talking about on ABC. Okay. I watch other shows on other channels, but I'm just saying on ABC, all I watch is Once Upon a Time and the two Marvel shows.
Even Once Upon a Time, I only watch one season. I was like, okay, I'm done.
Yeah, I mean, I just like Disney, so it's that's kind of like my thing. I like to watch the Disney characters, and some of it's cool, but like most of the time it's annoying. I'm not gonna lie, I struggle to watch it most of the time. It's not like as bad as struggling watching Revolution, but it's up there. Revolution was garbage on film.
I could only make me 3 episodes, and that's through Netflix.
Yeah. I can only make it every 3 episodes for I want to throw up. Man, I'm being, like, cynical tonight. It's funny.
Sorry. The Sonic Boom comments weren't directed towards you, sir.
Yeah, I know. But yeah.
You know, it's okay. Let it go. Let it go.
Sure, he's not gonna let that go.
Okay. Let it go.
Let it go.
Oh, I can't believe you guys are singing Let It Go.
You're the one that just said it, man.
You know what? Frozen didn't even cross my mind when I said that. Sorry.
Yeah, but you don't have an 18-month-year-old.
That's true. But
she's more into Lilo and Stitch right now. I'm into my like 23rd time watching it now in the past week.
But that's a fantastic movie.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, it is. And the more you watch it, like the more you're just like, wow, why didn't Disney take the Pokemon like approach in a video game for this? There's like 626 experiments. Each one of them could have been like locked in a ball or something. And it's like all of a sudden you start playing like all these awesome scenarios that you could have did with the franchise, and then you're just like, oh wait, then there's like 3 really terrible like pieces of film after this.
Yep, and Disney's not good at making video games, and when they make good ones, they close the studios.
Well, I will say they made a good game.
Which game are you referring to?
That would be Pure Split Second.
Split Second was awesome.
Yeah, Split Second was amazing. That was
Disney.
It
was Disney Interactive, Disney's. I'm trying to think. Black Rock Studio. It's the same guys that did Split Second. Did Pure. Pure is an arcade ATV game. That is fantastic.
Yeah, I never played Pure.
Fantastic.
I need to download. You know what? I need to download. That's an ATV game. I need to download Renegade Kids game. Like I see Jules playing that all the time, and it's like, man, I really need to get on there.
Dude, he'll smoke you.
I know. I see he posts like the leaderboard every time, and he's like 10 seconds ahead of everybody. He's ridiculous.
It's nuts. I came close the couple times I've played against him, but
How is it?
It's a lot of fun. It's not perfect in any stretch of the imagination, but like some of the turns and stuff are a little rough. But I mean, it's a fun early.
How's the online though?
Fine. No, I haven't had any issues with lag or anything like that. I mean, it works.
So they have a good online infrastructure. So where's the rest of our online games, Jules? Renegade Kid, where are they?
Right.
Where are our online games? But no, I seen Image and Form and like him were talking about something, and I'm like, yeah, make a SteamWorld Cross Treasure Knots, please.
Oh yeah.
I'll buy that twice.
No, it's. I mean, there's some awesome indie devs out there right now, man, but I'm generally more excited about a lot of the indie stuff coming than I am a lot of the retail stuff coming because of, you know.
Yeah. I got to drop a shout out to my boy Taylor, who's making
Dude,
Tiny
yeah,
Galaxy.
No, it was funny. I was going to talk about that too. Yeah. I'm so happy for that guy, man. I'm so excited.
Well, I got to have a shout out for a different reason. So he was showing off the game to me. I've been playing the demos of the game since last year, and I've been talking back and forth with him about it since then. He lives in Tampa, so he's only like about an hour away from where me and Chris are. So it's pretty cool. But so I've been talking to him, and he was showing me off screenshots, and it just said like World 1, World 2, and or like Fire Planet or Fire World or something like that. I'm like, dude, like why don't you name your planets? It'll have like, you know, so much like of a better effect if you know, it'll give it more, I don't know, just like a more like, you know, just make it feel like more loved instead of just like a bare like, oh, Fire World, Fire Planet. So anyway, I gave him some ideas for names, and he's going to use some of them in the game, so that's nice. Pretty awesome. Yeah.
Make it feel special, boy.
Yeah, it does. So when I beat the game and I see my name in the credits, I'm gonna be like, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, man, that game's looking awesome. When some of that new art on some of those planets and stuff, yeah, I'm jazzed.
Oh yeah, from the original build he sent me. Let's give a shout out to our boy Matt too, that writes that game gravy. He's doing all the music for it. So he's actually does the Nintendo Fever podcast over on our sister site, Matt Desend, and he writes reviews for GameGravy.com. So shout out to him for his awesome soundtrack on there. And he's now selling his music from that game and his other stuff on Google Play or whatever, the Google Store. So go check his site out. But yeah, so really cool game. But I've been playing it since very early builds, and it just looks night and day better, and it's really good. I can't wait to play it on the Wii U, though, because I don't know. There's something about having a controller in my hand instead of using the mouse and keyboard.
That's true.
Yeah, I'm excited. And you can tell he's getting excited for it, too, because he's hoping to have it all done and sent in the next couple weeks for lot check.
Yeah, he said he wants to get done within 2 weeks. I don't know, excited. He seems more nervous than me, but...
Well, yeah, it's that nervous excitement, I mean, because it's showtime, you know, it's...
Yeah, but I don't know if the fact that, like, I've been playing it so much and that, like, I've been talking back and forth with them, I probably shouldn't review it because it's probably a conflict of interest, so I'll probably hand that off to somebody else, but I might review it anyways. Because I'll be just as hard as him as I would anybody else.
Or you can do, instead of, not don't do a review per se, but like impressions.
Yeah, I mean, like I've been talking about it all along, so the only thing I need to make sure of that's really going to hinder my judgment of the game is how the camera flips on the Wii U. Because it's a really strong effect on the PC. So he said it didn't flip as fast on the Wii U. So if that's the case, I'll be happy. But that game gives me a headache. Like, after sitting down playing it for a few hours, it because of the mm-hmm. camera flipping. So it, as long as the effect's a little bit, maybe he'll. I don't know. I it's probably too late in the cycle to ask him to add in like a sensitivity, but
we'll see.
It's really fun, though. It's a really good, well thought about game. It's basically you take Mario Galaxy and you slap it into 2D, and it seems very, very similar to that.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah, it is. If you want, go to his do you know what his website is? Is it arcanepixel.com? Yeah, go to arcanepixel.com. He might actually own tinygalaxy.com. I don't know.
You can see some cool fan-inspired Forza art on his banner on Twitter, too.
Who made that?
That was a joke. I figured, but still, me.
No, tinyplanet.com takes you to some consulting firm. Don't go there. Everybody listening to the podcast, do not go to tinyplanet.com.
The name of his game is Tiny Galaxy, so maybe that's the problem.
Oh, man, I feel like a douche.
After this whole thing, you've been talking about it, and you're like, oh, I can't even got the wrong name for the game wrong.
Anyways, yeah, go check out Taylor's game, Tiny Galaxy, and yeah, so it's arcanepixel.com. You can get there. You can see a trailer of the game, and... You can see all about him. It doesn't look like he's updated the artwork with some of the newer stuff on here.
He will see.
Go follow him on Twitter, because he has a lot of awesome images on his Twitter from the game. It's at Arcane Pixel on Twitter, and yeah, check out his game. It's awesome. Tiny Galaxy, coming out this year soon, hopefully. Is there any other? Indie titles you want to shout out before we head out?
No, I think that's a good one.
Yeah, well, I'm actually going to try to get Taylor to come on the podcast with us one night. I think that would be fun. We could talk with him about his game and kind of promote it for him a little bit more than we're promoting it now. And then he could punch me in the face for calling his game the wrong name.
Hey, he lives in Tampa, so I'll be there. I'll film it.
Exactly. Well, he sounds like he might be a giant, so I'm kind of scared.
He could be like Ryan Raymond size. He'd be alright.
No, I think he's like 6'5" or something. Yeah, I might need you to protect me, Chris.
Nah, you don't need protection.
Yeah, man, you're like Luke Cage.
Oh, gosh. What, because I'm black?
No, because you're ridiculously big and strong.
Thank you. Anyways.
So, that'll be it for the podcast this evening, since you guys don't have any more indie titles that you'd like to talk about.
Well, I'll have a lot more next week when I come back from PAX East.
Yeah, hey, are you guys hanging out with anybody
Mike
there?
Mike has set up all their interviews. I'm just going along with him because this is my first show, and it'll be quite an experience for me, so I just want to take it all in gradually. And I'll be like,
do you know who he set up any interviews with?
As far as I know,
with?
No, but I've been getting a lot of emails from like everyone.
I wonder if he's going to go meet up with Jules. I think Jules is going to be there. So that would be kind of cool. Yeah, he's a really cool guy. We had him. Were you on the podcast that we interviewed him? Was that just me
and Jeff?
Yeah, that was a really cool podcast. He's a really fun guy.
Yeah.
Not a mushroom either. Just a fun guy to talk to. But, oh, yeah. Hey, you know actually who else's game's coming soon, now that I think about it? And from Infendo Radio, Lewis. Man, I'm going to mess up his name of his game, too. Twisted Fusion, there we go.
Oh, is that on play pretty soon, too?
That game looks... Yeah, he said he was going to try to get it out the first half of the year. We interviewed him when they dropped... when him and Mike, RC Madiax, dropped... Block drop cross Twisted Fusion. We interviewed Lewis, and yeah, he sounded like he wanted to have it out in the first half of this year. So, yeah, I'm excited. That game looks awesome too. And from the way he was describing it, like it sounds like a really unique Metroidvania-esque game. So, I'm pretty excited about that. But yeah, so I would definitely recommend following up and listening next week. We will have full coverage and full. Our full experience that we had at PAX East. I'm sure you and Michael have some stories. We don't want to hear any of the hotel room stories, but we will hear showroom. What happens in Boston
Absolutely.
Stays in Boston. But we want to hear all about the coverage from the showroom floor. You know, whatever you post up will be cool, but we want to hear about your firsthand experience. So make sure you have your stories ready for us. And yeah, have safe travels, man.
I'm gonna be Snapchatting, posting pictures, all types of other craziness. So if you want to know about anything,
okay,
just hit me up on my Twitter. And I'll be sure to try to go to that booth or wherever, if they are there, I'll try to go to that booth. And if you have any questions, just send them to me. I'll try to ask them the questions and get your answers back to you.
And we'll go through our Twitters one more time. Chris's Twitter is at GNIKJC. Mine is at ADEVIRGILIS. So my last name's crazy long. But in Ryan's Twitter is at Shifalation.
Correct.
Did I say that right? You can find us all on Twitter. We're usually there spewing banter. Me and Ryan mostly about Nintendo. Chris about his amazing belt buckle. But, but yeah, until next week, I am Anthony.
I'm Ryan.
We are
GameGravy.com.